Good morning, church. As Pastor Matt said, this September, we focus on missions. In fact, all 4 Sundays, so we focus on mission. Last week, we heard Pastor Matt talk about Jesus' passion. And the next 3 Sundays, we will have, for the English congregation, we'll have visiting speakers. This Sunday, we have got Pastor Chan. He's actually no stranger to our church, but he's much more familiar to the Chinese side. We haven't had the privilege of hearing so much. Today, we are really wringing him dry. He's speaking the Chinese, he's going to speak the English, and we're going to have a lunch Q&A with him. Pastor Chan is actually a kindred spirit in more ways than one. He's born in Malaysia, just like me. So he's a fellow countryman like me. He grew up there, engineer by background, and then moved into the ministry, and he's got a family. Is it four kids? Is it three kids? Okay, three kids. And he's the pastor of the KD Chinese Church, and he's come here quite a few times to share in our congregation, and we are very pleased to welcome him this morning to talk to us. Please welcome him.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor Matt and Brother KS, for giving me such a wonderful time that I can worship together with all of you. You know, bear with me this morning. You know why? Even though I have been in the United States for 30-something years, okay, I came to the United States at age of 17. I still very poor English, so bear with me this morning. But I hope that I have an important message to bring to the church and brothers and sisters here. You know, my kids used to correct my grammar and pronunciation something. And then one day, I told my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter, she's a senior year at Rice, and I said, "Oh, Dad has a very poor English, and how to improve it." And she says something to me, "Dad, it really doesn't matter. As long as people understand you." Then that was so encouraged me. Even today, I'm brave enough to stand on the pulpit to speak and in our church and then speak to English congregations and whatever. That is something encouraged. Words of encouragement that touched my heart. And my daughter said, "Dad, don't worry about that. That's okay. Be yourself." Okay. So this morning, let me be myself. Okay. But hopefully, the words of God and then we can encourage others. And also, this is a mission month. I hope that really something in my heart that I would like to share with our young generations. I'm glad that we have a lot of young generations. I was young before. I'm still young too. Okay, let's bow and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you, Father Almighty God, Father full of grace and mercy, as we come to worship you this morning. Father, lead us in a way that we can focus on you and focus on the kingdoms. Father, may we be here today and let your words and Holy Spirit touch our heart so that we know your will and also that we can walk according to your will so that we can manifest your glory, Father. And thank you. Thank you. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I introduce a little bit of myself. I'm father of 3. The oldest, my daughter's going to graduate next year. And the second one is going to college next year. And I still have one boy, 2 girls, and one boy, 8th grader. And praise the Lord, just all of you here. And then they worship the Lord and also be worship leaders at church. And we play all the instruments. I was raised in a Christian family, just like all of you. And really, I have a very good family. I originate from Malaysia. That's like Brother Cass. And really, thank God that I have godly parents raised me up and teach me and be an example for me to grow in Christ and grow in the family of Christ as well. That is something especially challenged for today's new generations, especially the, by default, it seems like by default, we have been raised and growing up in a Christian family. We came to church every Sundays, and we know all the Bible story. We can meditate, we can memorize, and we can talk about that. And what happened then? What happened to our life? Is our life really be a fruitful one? And when my life is be a visions, and if life really a life then can manifest Christ in our life, if life can be on life, impact life, that is something that we can reflect this morning. I would like to share about, even though this is the mission weeks and the missions, I would like to share a kingdom perspective and see through his eyes. That is important. That is the way how we live today as a Christian. No matter what kind of a Christian family you are raised, but more importantly, help us, Lord, this morning to see a kingdom's perspective, that we see his glories and his will, so that our life be a purposeful one. You know, even though I was Christians and I served very devotedly when I was young, just like you all in Malaysia. I mean, at that time, just like all you have a fellowship and Bible studies and 10 Sunday school and worship and serve. You know, I came to the United States when I was 17. You know, United States is just like a dream country. But I went away, far, far away from God. But God disciplined me, and he brought me back while I was in my junior year. And that time, my life changed. And from his holy throne, I received his calling. You know, I was called to be a missionary, but I have no gut. I feel sorry even today. At that time, I felt like God called me to be a missionary, and went to seminary to study missiology. And now I study my divinity and theology and all things like that, and end up with a pastor. But something really changed my perspective for the kingdom. And then something changed my life as well. And I will share more today. And from the perspective of life, from my experience, I would like to share with you all today, especially young generations. Help us, Lord, to see what God wants us to be. And help us, Lord, as a church, and to see how important we are. We are blessed people. We have been redeemed by the grace of Jesus Christ. How important, and what is the essential thing in your life? Help us, Lord, to focus this and see what is that important. So this morning, I would like to share kingdom's perspective, see through the eyes. You know, vision is very important. That's why I went astray, went away from God, because my life is meaningless. A lot of routine in my life, a lot of things have been part of my Christian and routine works of a Christian, I so-called daily ritual, very kind of practice that caused me really to think and rethink about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And during my college year, there is God help me to see what is most important in my life. See through his eye. I remember one time, when my kids were little, I used to drove him every day and pick them up at school, drop them at school. And one time, and then my alarm clock didn't sound, and then I was late. And my kids and came to me, "Dad, I'm late to school. I'm late to school. You know, what happened then? And Dad, why am I late to school?" And without brushing my teeth, I just changed my clothes, and I found out I forgot where my eyeglasses is. I forgot where I put it. And the kids still asking, "Dad, I'm late. Let's go to school right now." And I thought, I'm still okay with that. I still can walk and see. And then You know, that morning is one of my learning, it's a tough learning point in my life. You know, even though just less than 5 minutes, 2-3 minutes to school, and without my eyeglass, you know, how suffering is it? You know, I almost bumped left and right. Dad, why you drive like that? Without vision, you cannot see clearly, even kind of partially. Partially is still blind. Partially is still cause problem in your life. Partially is still something that you didn't see clearly. It will cause a lot of dangers to yourself and others as well. At that moment, I feel like how important to see clearly. That is the vision of our life. What kind of vision can substitute in our life? Is it our goal, our dream? Is it even my American dreams? I was an engineer. I graduated from Oklahoma State with two engineering degrees. And after that, God called me to seminaries. And I end up with, the other day, I told my kid, said, my oldest kid, my young kid, said, Dad has 5 degrees, 2 bachelor degrees, 2 master, 1 doctorate. And, you know, I still learn something for my kids. Then my youngest one said, Dad, you are flex. What's that? What do you mean flex? You know what's flex? Everybody know about that. I said, I didn't know what that mean. You should flex. You should boast. No, I said, no, nothing can be boasted unless there is a vision in your life. There's a purpose that God designed you, God gave you opportunity, God gave you something in your life that you can do is for His glory, for His kingdom, for His great commission. That is why we need to encourage each other this morning to see what God wants us and what is the plan in your life, and also how God put us together here to see the most important visions of the church is the great commission. Help us, Lord, this morning. Missions of the church is a great commission. It's the only commission, is the only great commission to the church and also to all the Christians. You know why I say that? Let's read all together. Most of the time when we recite and we read about the great commissions from the Matthew chapter 28, we used to start from verse 18. Right? But don't neglect to start from verse 16. Let's read it all loud together, 16 and 17. Please. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Okay. Friends, sisters, let's think about that. Before the great commissions to the 11 disciples and even to the church, what came first? Worship. It is because we are redeemed people. We are the God people that are by His grace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can come together as a family of God. Without great commission, without worship, there is no great commission. Without one who humbled himself and come before the throne of God, there is no visions and there is no given mission and commissions. You know, we knew that Queen Elizabeth, after 70 years of reign, monarch for 70 years, and at one time she said something like that. She wished Jesus would return. She wished to see Jesus one day so that she can put her crown before the Lord. There is something that all Christians, before we receive, we understand the great commissions of God, let us humble and bow before and give all the glories to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 19, there is a commission there. Therefore, help us, Lord, this morning. When we come to the mission way, and when we come to understand the great commission, help us, Lord, that Be a missions and doing the mission work has to be a worshiper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's learn how to worship God. Let's humble ourselves selflessly and bow before Him and give all the glories to Him. He's worthy to be praised. Mission is for the church. Mission is for all the worshiper. Missions is only commissions to the church and the only commissions to all those who follow Him. Amen? Help us, Lord. No matter what kind of opportunity you have, you are the students, you are works as engineers and many kind of different vacations or anything like that, vocations, and help us, Lord, to understand you are a worshiper. Then your missions, the only mission in your life, is the great commissions that God entrusts to the church and all the worshipers. Amen? So that began with the understanding, the perspective of the kingdoms that we can follow next. So this is where our vision began. And missions of the church, let us connect together as a worshiper. Let us engage together as a worshiper. And then we can listen to the commission of where Jesus is, where Jesus go. Then we will follow. That is something that we need to learn. I remember many years ago, I was with my one of the close friends and brothers. He brought me to Tibet. And actually, it's the northwest of China. Those are the lamas, and they are temple worshippers, and they serve at a lot of the temples and in Tibet's area. You know, you guys may not know that the Tibetans and the groups, the people groups there, are the hardest, one of the hardest hardest people group that gospel can be reached. Because the soil here, the people heart, and all the ritual and their kind of religion background, it's not easy that they can easily to accept Jesus Christ. Then I was there and I take a photo with them. You know, there's something that touched my heart when I saw them, and I really, when I, the more that I learned from them, this touched my heart, something that I really know. You know, the Tibetans, they worship God differently than us. All Tibetans, they have the goal of their worship. Even from where they are in China area, they wish that they one day they can go to Lhasa, a place that they can wholly worship, and they go there and worship their God. You know, even they went there, how they went there? It's thousands and thousands of miles from one place to the other. But their attitude, you know how they approach and how they go there? They worship, even they move 3 steps and they have the prostrations and they walk again and bow again, and that continue from where they are and to the area that they want to worship God. When I was there, I feel like something different in our United States. I feel something different. Sometimes Christians have been in the part of a routine life, in the religious practice, come to a church every Sundays and all things like that. I feel like we know that we have true belief, we have true faith, but sometimes our worship is kind of a mix. But we know that, and we know that, and I see them too. They have a wrong belief, but they have a true heart of worship. And on the other hand, we have a true worship. We have a true God, true belief, true faith. But sometimes our attitude and our heart and our passion to God is really far compared to those who think that they believe there are two gods, but in fact, it's their wrong and false belief. Help us this morning to see what is a true worshiper, a true worshiper that commit to the calling of God. A true worshiper actually is follow the footstep of the Savior. And the true worshiper always seeks to please, to glorify the one who called him. So no matter where we are, no matter what we do, even the love of young brothers and sisters here, help us, Lord, be part of the missions, because you are special. You are called to be a worshiper of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to be a part of a community of faith to worship the God who created us, the God who gave us life, the God who gave us eternal life, the God who bring us, who brought us from the darkness and go into the light of this world and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. How important we are. Don't take it for granted. As a worshiper, let us worship with truth, with spirit, and worship him and listen to his great commission. Help us, Lord, to understand the perspective of the kingdom and understand who you are, and that you will feel like how precious you are under the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our mission, there's a lot of weaknesses in the church today. We don't fully understand and rooted in the biblical global missions. We know that missions, everybody is, doesn't mean that everybody can be a missionary, but every Christian, every believer, every worshipper of our Lord Jesus Christ, so involved in mission, doing mission work. Understand? That is our privilege. That is our joy. That is our heart and our passion. We are called to do the mission work, involved in the works of the kingdom. Help us, Lord, to understand it and our the urgency, and also equip well, no matter what, from where we are here today, to witness, to evangelize, to love people, and not just in Chinese area only. Help us, Lord, to open our eye, to see, to engage many, many around us. You know, when the first time, the very first time that I involved mission, when I was youth, one of the brothers actually at our church in Malaysia, he's a doctor, and he invited all our youth and church members. Let's go for mission. Actually, locally, it's about 2 hours drive from our hometown. You know, that was my first mission trip. You know, where we go, that actually is a dark side for me. You know, but that's something that I can grasp a little bit, understand what is God become fresh. We went to a leprosy rehab center to care and share the gospel to the leprosy friends there. When I was there at about middle school age, wow, that was tough for me. When I saw the doctor, the brother's doctors there, he just feel like there's no hesitation at all to embrace, to hug, and also shake hands with patients, I think. But actually, they all recover already, you know. But for me, it's not easy. It's uneasy because you see those people, really, there's sometimes no hands, no face, no nose because of leprosy or something like that. You know, at that time, I feel like, wow, this is all about mission. Then I will never be a missionary. I never be a missionary because I'm scared to see that's a mission. But when I grew up, and more understand the works of the kingdom and the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, and heart of how Jesus Christ went through all the people groups and all the rulers and all the towns and all the cities and even go to those that people that nobody like. Sometimes we use a little teenager, my kids teach me another word. Dad, you know what is click? Click? That's connect. If there's no click, it's hard we can get together. It's not clicks, it's hard that he or she can be my friend. Sometimes we tend to choose who we like to belong to. We tend to choose who we love, we want to help, and sometimes we tend to choose which way we want to go. But when we come, we understand the passion and the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, no matter who they are, no matter who, the sinners and how bad they are, he's willing to go into people's heart, go into the people's place, and go into the people's group so that they can know and understand the love of Christ, the love of God, and the wonderful saviors that's willing to bring them back from the darkness. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us this morning to understand the kingdom perspective from the short-sighted to potato vision. You know why? When I was in the Tibet, the Tongren, I mean the Northwest Chinas that I just saw with the Lamas, and my co-workers, and one of my close friends, brother, he brought me to a very, very rural and very remote area. You don't even know there is a small rural area, remote area in the world. About just 60 families, and they're surrounded by mountains, and they plant potatoes everywhere. You know, I was invited to speak that night, and I realized that there is a community of a village, it's just 60 families there, all Christians, all Tibetans Christian. We knew that. That is hard to share the gospel to the Tibetans people. It's hard soil. How come these rural areas is all Christians? And I was there, and the elders invite me for dinner. You know, you can imagine, you never know that such a place in the world, they still use digging up the soil, holes for restroom. And the flies fly everywhere. And I was treated as a special guest to the dinner in the elder's house. You know, and the best meal for me. And of course, there's a potato meal there. But you can see all the flies flying all around on top of it. You know, how did I eat? I try not to get something on the top. When he didn't see, I tried to grab it from the bottom. But I feel like still there's a distance between people. There's a distance because I feel like comfort in America. I rest up in a nice family. I feel like I'm very hygiene. But when you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who came to this world, he mingled and hung around with sinners. All dirty people, all wicked, as we claim, and those kind of, and all kind of environment like that. But for the sake of the gospel, help us, Lord, to understand why Jesus become fresh. That is our part of our, to imitate, be examples that we can learn from our Lord Jesus Christ, to be fresh to many people. And at that time, when I come to a potato dish, I try to grab it and eat. And just all of a sudden, and the elders spoke. He said, you know, Pastor Tan, you know this potato? Actually, this potato has saved 100,000 of people in our Gansu Northwest areas back 100 years ago. Is it because there were two missionaries from the United States that willing to sacrifice and willing to depart from their comfort zone for the sake of Tibetan people. That's 100 years ago. And they're willing to sail all the way and thousand miles, taking ship to Shanghai, and they rode a horse and all the way to Tibetan's area. That's 100 years ago. When I tried to eat that potato, you know, my tears, suddenly tears came out. 100 years ago, gospel, because of sacrifice, because of the name of Jesus Christ, because of the Savior, because of the grace that that willing that someone experienced, willing to bring to those people, they're willing to sacrifice everything and to go. That is something that, again, revived me. And to see from the perspective of the kingdom, to see how important is it, the visions has to be from a kingdom. Not from our sight, not from our knowledge, to understand how difficult is it, but know that God make it happen. The kingdom works is all about God's works. The kingdom works is all about how that is impossible to possible. The kingdom works is all about, you never think about, it will come a big. You never see such a small, it will become great. That is what the Bible verse of today. Help us in a very short time. I just want to put it in a simple way to understand this perspective kingdom's way and how we understand it. In the Luke chapter 13, 18 and 21, he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it to? Okay, actually, there's 2 points here. One is the verse 18 in the questions. What is the kingdom of God like? This is the first point. And Jesus said, it is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in the garden, and he grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air make nests in its branches. Mustard seed is just a 1 millimeter. So small. But we know that if we find great tree, it's about 12 to 14 or 15 feet. And then another area Jesus wanted to point out, verse 20. And again he said, there's a second point. And to what shall I compare the kingdoms of God? Then he used the leavens, okay? It is like a leaven that a woman took and hid it in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavens. A dough reveals the small yeast in the dough is about 40 pounds, and it becomes even greater. What happened then? A small yeast in the dough, it will become bigger and bigger. The impact is bigger. So the symbols of these parables actually give a big idea. Simply put it this way. Simple push the word. The vision of mustard seed and leavens in the missions of God's people, and see the Great Commission and the works of God about a kingdom for the church. And there's a part for Israel too. But that's for the church and for you and for all the worshipper. We are part of this vision. And the vision of the mustard seed and leaven is the missions of God's people. But both parables emphasize the same point. What's the point? A purposeful, conscious process, and both depict the wonderful and the great work of God. Brothers and sisters, as we see these words and help us, Lord, what is the kingdom looks like? A mustard seed, small seeds grow into a tree. A very small beginnings lead to amazingly large result, and small beginnings with large ending. And the second one, leaven. The hidden leavens will cause the lump invisible, but has a big impact. We can conclude from this Bible. And some application I would like to make this morning. Little seed will go to victory. Small yeast, heaven in the dove, will bring great impact. Small to big, small influence, and bring great impact. That is all the works of the kingdom. It's none of your business. It's none of my business. Your business and my business is just throw that little seed to the bad soil. Your business and my business is just involved in be part of kingdom works that God wants to do from impossible to possible and from the small to the great and the small impact to the great impact. That is all his works. But are you willing to be part of it? Sow the seed, just like my brother, my best friend, daddy. He was born and raised at the Gansu, Lanzhou area, Lingtao, small town. You know, he was just like a hippies back early years. You know, he's kind of wild when he was young because his life is just totally without purpose. It's meaningless, but he is good and very talented in playing guitar. You know, he traveled around all China, you know, to just go to the under the bridge, go to the pub and all these bar to sing and earn his money. You know, he shared his testimony. He said when he was about 20 something years old, his life is totally meaningless. One day at Lanzhou, you know, Yellow River. He said he was singing the last song, and people passed by would throw money, is a basket, you know, and something like that. And after that, he said he's going to commit suicide and jump into the Yellow River. The last song. It's very happy and meaningless. Or darkness in his life. You know, just what coincidence. It's not a coincidence at all. There is a purpose of God that brings someone, a missionary, and pass by him and stand there and listen to his so-called last song. And of course, this missionary and gave him some money and write a note there. If you have something in your life, then please come to visit me. I did address my apartment where I live. And then the mission is there. And my brother, my friends, my close friend, and at the time, after finishing his last song, he stand at the bank of the river, Yellow River, almost jump and commit suicide that day. But he remembered. The missionaries share something to him and see his notes there. But praise the Lord, he didn't jump into the river. And he willing to listen. That is a sound in his heart. And he went to visit the missionary. That day, he accepted Jesus Christ. At that moment, he told us, and he was joyful. And he said that, once I was a bar singer and without purpose, without hope. But right now, I want to use my voice, my guitar, to praise Almighty God, to share his gospel, and to praise this wonderful Savior who saved him out of the darkness. At that moment, his life changed. Therefore, a worshiper at that moment received the highest calling from the throne that he become a blessing to many others and bring gospel to the very, very hot soils in the Northwest China's area. That is such a wonderful thing. You never imagine such a wretch, such a people can be used by God to be a great man, servant of God. Such a useless from the perspective of society that can be used and mobilize to a warriors of the kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is something that I feel like I was touched and see. Even a small thing become a big tree. A small yeast, the impact will become great. It's none of our business. But our business is to just sow the tiny seed with faith, and willing to participate and willing to engage and connect to the kingdom's works. I encourage brothers and sisters here, especially young brothers and sisters. My kids all involved in mission. I brought them to China, and recently I just came back from Central Asia, and I brought my second kids and third kids. They teach English there, and they share gospel and witness Christ at Kyrgyzstan. Wow, they are popular, and not me. I was just set aside, and they are all embraced by all these college students there. You know, even they can witness Christ and sow and share the salvation and the reasons of hope that they find in Jesus Christ. I praise God. Praise God. I would like to encourage and challenge our brothers and sisters here, young brothers and sisters, to engage when you are a leader. Engage in the works of mission and engage and connect to people. You will see impossible to possible. You will see small, it become great. You will see small impact to become a great impact in your life if you involve in the kingdom's works. Help us, Lord. You know, 2018 was my hardest time, especially in the works of mission. It was the hardest time in my life as well. This is my brother, my best friend, because he met his wife as one of the missionaries from the United States in China. And then they get married, and they have a beautiful kids. And he came to Dallas for seminary, and he attended my church back then in Dallas. Then we know each other, and our old church embraced him as a brothers and sisters. And then we worked together, and God sent us and sent him back to China. He's from Northwest China. We did a lot of great works in China through him and a partnership, and all the youth and the families in the church together for many years. 2018, the last mission works that we were together, and we have many people from our church. And after they dismissed and went back to United States, and I was the one who deported. And together at Lanzhou, after the mission works, I kind of relaxed a little bit, and we stayed one night at the hotel, and the next day we will move on to Shanghai, and he will come back to United States as well. That was the last time I saw him. That was the last time I saw him. That night, yeah, we kind of relaxed a little bit after all the mission projects. And even we drink Lanzhou beer, oh, very nice. And eat the beef stew there, oh, for relax after that. We enjoy celebrations after mission works because we were going to depart Shanghai and came back to the United States. Actually, 2 weeks later, October 11, 2018. That was the time, the day we set for him and the family. We ordained him at our church to be a pastor. But end up that day is a memorial service. That was something that, you know why? After he came back to the United States, he went to visit his friends in Kansas City, just out of nowhere, and stayed with a friend's house, just came back from a prayers and sharing with his friends, and just walking past by, a teenager. That is a life, meaningless life, life without purpose. Then was told later, the teenager has a PCP, drugs, confused himself, just took his parents' shotgun. And my brothers, my friends, just passed by and shot him dead, right at the spot. That is what the sadness moment in my life, 2018. Then, at that time, I was already in KD. October 11, that's supposed to be his ordination as a pastor, but that was his memorial service. It's hard for me to share that time about him. We just met and did a great mission work in China, Northwest, 2 weeks ago, and 2 weeks later, supposed to be a celebration for ordination to be a pastor. But that was a memorial service. I don't understand why God took him apart. But something that God gave me, his word for encouragement, is from John chapter 12, 24. The same words that I was with him at that time at his house. Then we sang together and we worshiped God. And the same message and the same verse that came us, just a useless canal. But God used it for his purpose, for kingdom's sake. Small thing seems like useless, but it do a great works. But it's none of my business to understand why in the process, why this happened. But it's my understanding, we just a useless canal. God can use it in his almighty way, from impossible to possible, useless to precious, small to big, small impact to great impact. Just he put and to begin the great works in Northwest China with the hard soils of those Tibetans. Therefore, this Bible verse, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. On that day, the day of memorial service, you know, mobilize more and more brothers and sisters to willing to sacrifice, to go for the works of mission. More and more peoples, because our brother Haodong HD follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to sacrifice. We know that there's a purpose. God took him away. We didn't know, but the works that he has done, the seed that he sowed, the water has been shed, we know that all this has become great things. And more gospel works have been spread around in the very hot soil in the Tibetans area. So are you willing, as brother and sister today, even you are small, even you are young, inexperienced, but the heart for the Great Commission, the heart to pursue the kingdom's works, and be part of the kingdom kids, children. And God will make you great. God will make you purposeful. God's glory will manifest to the tiny of each of us and be manifest, be blessing to many, many people. Help us, Lord. This morning, once again, help us to find the purpose of our life, to see the perspective of the kingdom and see the works of the kingdom through his eye. And you will find how precious you are. No matter what kind of vocations and what kind of a status and what kind of opportunity you have, even you are students, even you are kids, but it's all precious. in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and mercy that we can stand and bow before you to worship you. Thank you for the salvation that you give us. Thank you. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to see through your eye, to go where you go, to do what you do. Help us, Lord. Help us our life to be a meaningful one, to be a fruitful one, to a life that we can manifest your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.